Good to see you in prayer service tonight. You know, when we look around and we see how many comes out to prayer meeting, it thrills my heart. You know, I realize that prayer service is not like the other service in the week. We're not maybe as many in attendance, but you know something? It's still the same God, isn't it? Amen. Amen. We're still serving the same God, and He's still the same, and I praise Him for that. I told you one time, they say if you go to church on Sunday morning, you love the church. If you go to church on Sunday night, you love the preacher. If you go to church on Wednesday night, you love the Lord. So take that for what it's worth. Amen. But you know, it's good to be able to worship the Lord, isn't it? Regardless of whether it's Wednesday night or prayer meeting night or Sunday night, it's always good to worship, to come together and lift up our spirits and our voices and give praise unto the Lord. Let's turn tonight, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Ever since I've been called to preach, I always love to preach about Jesus. There's just so much that you can, you know, that to preach on about Jesus that you can never cover it. It's just new. It's a blessing over and over when you think about Jesus and the things concerning Him. As we said Sunday night, if you took all the red letter the words of Jesus out of the Bible and put it all in a book, according to the rest of the Bible, you'd have a very small book, because the words of Jesus is not a whole lot concerning all the Bible. It's just a very small portion. But my, it's so powerful. No wonder God chose a name for Him above every other name. Tonight, I would like to speak to us for a few minutes with the help of the Holy Spirit about that name, a name above every other name. And, you know, that's not my title. That's a biblical title, part of the verse I want to use tonight. If you have your place in your Bible there, we start reading at verse 5. He said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has also exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." I'd like to choose for the last part of that verse there in verse 9, where God had given him a name which is above every other name. You know, Shakespeare once said that there's nothing in a name. He said that if a rose was called anything other than the name of rose, it would still smell the same. It would have the same good fragrance, no matter what you called it. Well, in a sense, I sort of agree with that, but in another sense, I don't agree with it. There is something in a name. If I wrote you a check tonight for a large amount of money and put my name on it, it wouldn't be worth the paper it's written on. But if Trump, President Trump, some of the Rockefellers, Bill Gates, some of these guys wrote you a check and you carried it in the bank, they'd follow you around to cash it for you. So there is something about a name, isn't it? Even though Shakespeare said it made no difference, I disagree with him. It does make a difference. There is a great significance in a name tonight. And God knew that. And the Bible said that He gave Jesus a name that was above every other name. So names do mean something. When we hear the name of Moses, what do we think about? We think about a man who was a great leader. We think about a man who brought the law of God down off of the mountain, off of Mount Sinai. You know, God took Moses up there and he gave him the law. And Moses brought it back. You remember, God used him. He was a great man. When you think about David, you think about the man who was a shepherd boy and became king of Israel. When you think of David, you think about the Psalms, the biggest book in the Bible is the book of Psalms, the largest book. And we think of how that many of those Psalms, David wrote them. How that he sang and how that he blessed those that he sang to. And David was a great man. So the name David means something. Excuse me. The devil's trying to play another trick on me, isn't he? The name David, as I said, means a lot. When we think about the blessed 23rd Psalm, that's probably the most quoted psalm in all the Bible. We think about King David, who wrote that song. Then we think about Solomon, who was David's son. What do we think of when we think of Solomon? We think of wealth and we think of wisdom because he was a man of both. What do we think about when we think about Wesley, John Wesley, the man who promoted and organized and brought the Methodist Church into being? We think about Methodism when you think about John Wesley. What do we think about when we see a Ford automobile going down a road? We think of Henry Ford, don't we? The man who was behind the great automobile company. What do we think about when we hear and read sermons about Spurgeon? You know, I think he was one of the greater preachers in old times, and he was, no doubt about it. So I believe today that names mean something today. Names mean a lot today. You know, I think we need to put a high value on our name today. We've heard a lot of people say, and probably you've heard people say it, and I probably even said it myself. Years ago, I said a lot of things that were wrong, and today I don't mean it, but it's gone. I can't take it back. But anyway, you know, when you think about your name, you ought to have a good name. And I've heard people say, well, I don't care about my name. It don't make any difference. Call a credit bureau and see how your name stands one day after a while. Check with somebody who knows you and see what kind of a name you got. Listen, your name means something to you, my friend. It means a lot to you. It means a lot more than you think. And let me say this, by all means, a Christian ought to have a good name tonight. A Christian ought to have a name that stands out in the community. A Christian ought to have a name that's known by other people. A Christian ought to have a name that has blessed somebody by his name, by knowing him, and knowing him by name. You know, it was in the book of Proverbs, in long about 22 and 1 there, and the proverb writer said, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Think about that for just a moment. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Now, I've never been rich, so I can't compare a good name with great riches, and probably none of us can tonight. But we know that a good name is something to cherish and something to have, and that would be of a benefit to us. But, you know, when you think of some of these names that I mentioned tonight, some of these people, you know, they had great names. That's why they are at the place that they are tonight. When you think about the Rockefellers, you think about wealth, as I said, and the name Rockefeller, it means something. When you think about the name of Henry Ford, it means something. When you think of the Dodge brothers, it means something. When you think of aircraft, the Wright brothers, it means something. It rings a bell, you see. So my name and your name is going to ring a bell somewhere tonight in somebody's heart, in somebody's mind, regardless of who we are. When we think of the name of Jesus, that's the sweetest, most noble name that's ever been spoken tonight. It's the name of Jesus has been spoken by every tongue, every kindred, every nation, every tribe, every person upon the earth through tribes, through a speech. Somehow or another, the name of Jesus stands out above every other name. It's been spoken, as I said, by every tongue known in the world tonight. It's been lisped from the baby's lips. It's been praised by great men of great affairs. It's been whispered in the hour of death, the name of Jesus, that wonderful name of Jesus. I like that old song. We used to sing it a lot. It said, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. He is just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Do you know of a name tonight any sweeter than the name of Jesus? Do you know of a name tonight any more wonderful than the name of Jesus? You can start talking to people and start talking about the name of Jesus, and most time they'll join right in with you. They'll understand. They know who Jesus is. They've heard about Jesus down through the years and down through their life, and it is the greatest and sweetest name that we know tonight. It's a saving name. Think of it tonight. The name of Jesus is a saving name tonight. Oh, I'm so glad tonight to know that Jesus is a saving person tonight, aren't you? We remember the scripture there found over in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, how that God, how he spoke to Joseph, and he said, Joseph, he said, to name his name Jesus. For he, Jesus, the name Jesus, Moses said to name it, I mean, God's, excuse me, let me get straight here. The angel told Joseph, said, name him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Now, we know that Jesus was many things in this life. Jesus was a preacher. Jesus was a teacher. Jesus was a healer. Jesus was an example. He is our Savior. And he said that he would save us. I'm glad tonight to know that Jesus saves, aren't you? Amen. Amen. Jesus saves. We used to sing a song. It's in this book. We sing it here once in a while. Jesus saves. I'm thankful tonight for Jesus. Thankful for his saving power. I read an article about the Moody Tabernacle in Chicago. It had gas lights in it. And said on each side of the pulpit standing here, there was a light on each side. And said right above that light, there was these three words on each side. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And one night a drunk came in, took him a seat back in the back of the tabernacle and sat down. And as he looked, he never heard a word the preacher said that night. But as he looked straight ahead, he saw those words, Jesus loves you. He looked to the other side of the pulpit, he saw those words, Jesus loves you. He glanced back and forth, back and forth. All he could see that night was Jesus loves you. The next night he came back. The next night he came back. Three or four or five nights he came back. And on the seventh night he came back, he gave his heart to the Lord. And the preacher asked him, D.L. Moody asked him, said, why? Why did you wait so long? He said, well, he said, every night I saw that, I wondered if it was really true. Does Jesus really love me? Does Jesus really love me? The drunk said. And D.L. Moody said, you know he does. His love is what drew you back. Night after night. How true that is today. Jesus loves us. He cares for us. You know, when we think about how that Jesus loves us, the old prophet Isaiah said in 45 and 22, he said, look unto the ends of the earth and be ye saved. You know, when you look to the ends of the earth, you're looking a long ways. You're looking in a great direction. And our text tonight refers to how far people are away from God, from the ends of the earth. You know, God is everywhere. Oh, we got the idea sometimes that God is not everywhere, that God's only with us. We've heard people make him so personal, you know, you wouldn't think he belonged to anybody but one person. But God is not like that. God is in all over the whole in the world, everywhere. He said to the ends of the earth, said, look unto me and be ye saved. So we know today that the text surely refers to those that are far from God. You know, when you think of the lowest, vilest sinner tonight, you know, we don't talk about sinners much anymore. We don't really witness to them like we should. We don't really get through to sinners like we ought to. But you know something? Jesus loved the vilest sinner today. Oh, he loved men, he loves women, he loves children. It doesn't make any difference where you are today. Jesus loves you. And it doesn't make any difference how deep in sin a person is. Jesus loves that person. I was a person who was deep in sin at one time. I was a person who had really run the roads of sin. But Jesus, you know, he loved me. He cared for me. And he cares for the sinner tonight. He said, though your sins be scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Again, coming from the old prophet Isaiah, those words. Yes, even though our sins may be scarlet, they shall be white as snow. The Bible also tells us in Luke, in chapter 19 and verse 10, the very reason that Jesus came into the world. Jesus said he came in the world to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his mission. That's why he came into this world. He came to seek and to save those which are lost. Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's why Jesus came. John 6 and 37 said, him who come to me, I'll in no wise cast him out. So we see Jesus came to save. Jesus, the name of Jesus is a saving name. Thank God. You know, in Hebrews 7, 25, the scripture said, wherefore he is able to save in them unto the uttermost and come to God by him. So there's not anything laxed about Jesus. He has a saving power. The name of Jesus means something tonight, my friends. The name of Jesus means a saving power in that name tonight. And men all over the world have come to him from different places in the world, been saved tonight, different countries in the world. Men have been saved because of that precious name of Jesus. Someone James Simpson was his name, and he was a great scientist. And someone asked him one time, he gave some kind of a orientation, a speech or something, and someone asked him one time, what was the greatest name or the greatest thing he'd ever witnessed? And he said, the greatest thing I've ever witnessed was when I was a child, sitting at my mother's knee. And she would rock me and my sister, said she would rock us together and sing about Jesus to us. And he said, that's the greatest experience, the greatest discovery I ever had in my life. He said, I discovered not only the name of Jesus, but said, I discovered who Jesus was. So you see, my friends, the name of Jesus penetrates hearts tonight. It doesn't matter young or old, the name of Jesus, you probably remember your mother. You probably remember someone loving you, someone singing to you about Jesus, maybe rocking you as a child. Maybe after you got up, maybe pretty good size, you heard about Jesus. You know, I'm so thankful tonight for the name of Jesus. Oh, I think it's a name. I know it's a name above every other name. You know, we think of the name of Jesus, it's a precious name. We don't hear the word precious much anymore, do we? But you know, we think of a wife and mother. We think of a sweetheart or a child. We think of being precious, don't we? And they are. But the name of Jesus, Peter said, he said the name of Jesus was a precious name. And how true that is. He said, unto you therefore which believe, talking to the Christians now, he said, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Jesus is precious, my friend. He's precious. He's precious in his name. He's precious and to me and precious to you tonight. You know, one day Jesus was passing along and he saw a little fellow named Zacchaeus up in a sycamore tree. And that little fellow became precious to Jesus. You say, well, he was a tax collector. He robbed people. He done things wrong. He was a no good. He might have been a no good in sight of some people. But to Jesus, he meant something. And Zacchaeus looked down that day as Jesus came down the road. And Jesus looked up at him and said, today I'm going to be with you at your house. You're going to my house today, Jesus? He said, yes. And Zacchaeus, that tax collector, realized how precious the name of Jesus was that day. My friends, listen to me tonight. As we go back down memory lane a little bit tonight, reminisce just a little bit. You know, it wouldn't hurt us to go back and kneel at the cross, would it? You know, every time I pray, I think of Calvary. Do you have some certain spot, some certain place that you think of when you pray? You know, Jesus had certain places he prayed. He'd go out of the night and pray all night long, out somewhere in the dark. We don't know where, but we know he would go alone and he would pray. And when I prayed, many times, I think about Calvary. The reason for that is because Jesus saved me at Calvary. Amen. It took Calvary to get me saved, and Jesus saved me at Calvary. And I know that the name of Jesus, most precious name I ever heard, it's a comforting name. Have you ever thought how much comfort the name of Jesus brings to some person or to you? Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. Since you believe in God, believe also in me. There's many times when people are troubled. You know, trouble doesn't always express itself. Sometimes it lies hidden. Sometimes we don't see it, but it's still there, isn't it? So we find that there's comfort in a time of trouble. Comfort in the name of Jesus. Everybody has their Black Fridays, sometime or another, down through life. And where do we find comfort in such a time? We find comfort in Jesus Christ, don't we? What about the Bethany sisters? When Martha and Mary lost their brother, the only brother they had, he was dead, he died. What did they do? They sent for Jesus, didn't they? They did the right thing. They sent for Jesus, and Jesus came and brought comfort to them. And you know, only Jesus can bring comfort. In times like these, only Jesus can bring comfort. Friends are wonderful. I love my friends. I like them. And I wouldn't take anything for them. If it was a price put on them, I couldn't price them. But you know something? Only Jesus can bring comfort. Only Jesus can help you when you're in troubled, when you need comfort. Only he. The Bible said he's the God of all comfort. Just a few weeks ago, we were up in West Virginia, had my brother-in-law's funeral up there. And I thought, as we was at that funeral that day, how that he had trusted in God. I run around with him when I was young. Me and him, I won't say what we done together, but it's not good to tell. But anyway, we spent a lot of our young life together running around doing things. But somehow or another, I never could get close to him when we discuss salvation, discuss Jesus. I never could. He never did pay much attention to me. But I was glad to hear just a few years ago that he made everything right with God. And at that funeral just a few weeks ago, I saw how peaceful and how calm everybody was. It wouldn't have been that way a few years ago, but because Jesus had come into his life and he had given his life to Jesus, it made all the difference in the world that day at that funeral. You know, if Jesus tarries, every one of us are going to go by the way of death. And we all need comfort, don't we? Our families need comfort. We all need comfort. Our comfort's only, as I said, in Jesus Christ. As we conducted that funeral the other day, the singer sang, the other pastor that helped in the funeral all said some good, kind things about Andrew. The reason we could was because Andrew had took that lovely name of Jesus and ask him to forgive him and come into his life and be his Lord. So that made his going so much easier. So you see, the lovely name of Jesus means something tonight. It means something in life. It means something in death. So something else about that name. It's a conquering name. You think about the name of Jesus, it conquers. It's a conquering name. You know, his name is conquered sinful hearts. Think about it tonight. It's the name of Jesus. Someone spoke that lovely name to somebody who needed him, and he conquered their hearts. You know, Jesus doesn't conquer with the sword. He doesn't conquer with bombs and guns and modern technology as we know today, but he conquers with love. You know, that's the greatest weapon that's ever been, is love. And Jesus used it to love the whole world, didn't he? He used it to show the whole world that he's ready to take the whole world in to conquer sin in behalf of each and every individual. The Bible said God highly exalted him and gave him a name above every other name. So names do mean something tonight. Your name means something tonight. My name means something tonight. I'd rather, when I pass, I'd rather they say, well, he wasn't very smart. A lot of things he didn't do, but he did follow Jesus. I'd rather that be said about me than anything else. And it's the truth. I don't know a lot of things. Not very smart. Don't claim to be. Never was rich. Wouldn't know what to do if I was. Wouldn't know what to do with the money. Never had no wealth. Never had much property. Live in a double-wide mansion today. Going to have something a whole lot better later on down the road. Jesus prepared a mansion for us. So the name Jesus means something tonight. Amen. The name Jesus. You know, you think about how that Jesus left the splendor of heaven. How he left the royalty and came down to earth. How he came to a world that was full of sin and shame and degradation. He left all that, or came to that, I mean, when he left heaven. The Bible said, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. He laid down the riches of glory to come down to this poor earth to be our Savior, didn't he? He had no wealth. He had no home. He had no family. He owned no property. All he had was a cross. A shameful cross. And he died on that cross. He suffered for you and I. But you know what? When he said it's finished, God said that's enough. And God took him back to heaven. And today he sits on the throne of glory at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for you and I. What a lovely name, that name of Jesus. What a lovely person, that person Jesus. What a great person, that person Jesus. What a great Savior we have tonight. And his name is Jesus. He's the only one who ever could save. He's the only one who came, whoever came from heaven to earth to be your Savior. He loves you tonight. That precious name of Jesus is a name that's above every other name. God had every right to name his son Jesus. He had every right to exalt him and lift him up and give him a name that's above every other name. Think about it. There's not another name nowhere like the name of Jesus. The precious name. A conquering name, a loving name, an exalted name, and his name is Jesus.